Ooh, hallelujah. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God, this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. The Word of God says that when two or three of you are gathered together in His name, that He's in the midst. How many believe that? Ooh, man, I'll tell you what, He's in here. Hallelujah, Jesus. The presence of God. Hallelujah. How many of you know you can't get away from the presence of God? Is that right? I mean, you can run, but you can't hide. Is that right? You can run, but you can't hide. Used to have my brother used to have a friend that was a barber in Tucson. And when you'd go to shake his hand, what he'd tell you is, you can run, but you can't hide. God, he didn't care who you were. That's what he said to you. And he was talking about Jesus. Jesus. Amen. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus. He sent His Spirit into the earth to do what? To teach us. Is that right? He's here with us to teach us. Amen? Hallelujah. When you've been taught by Jesus, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you've been taught by the best. Amen? Hallelujah. There ain't none like Jesus. Nobody can teach like Jesus. Amen? You know what? You can go to any college in the world. I don't care where it's at. They don't know you personally, and they can't see what's in your heart. They can't tell you what Jesus can tell you about teaching you and instructing you. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Makes it easy for a pastor if he believes that. I don't have to teach you anything. I just get inspired by the Spirit of God that dwells in me. And when I bring it out, hopefully you'll receive something and you get inspired. But it's by the Holy Ghost. It's an inspiration that it comes into you. And I believe that's how God is building this church. Is that right? Yeah. It's what He told Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, He said. But my Father, which is in heaven, He revealed it to you. And by this, I will build my church upon this rock, not the rock of Peter, but the rock of revealing, revelation into the heart of any believer. Amen? Everybody say any believer. Anybody that believes. Into your heart comes a revelation. And the gates of hell cannot stand against it. Is that right? Is that what it says? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That's starting out a good word, and I wasn't even planning on this. This is God's word talking to you. Nothing can stand against the believer in Christ. And that's something, I don't care where you go. You got everything you need. Wherever you're at, you've got everything you need. Whatever you're doing, you got everything you need. Is that right? Because it's God with you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Man, it's going to be a good service today. I can sense that. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, last week was kind of different for me. I was planning to preach what we're going to plan today, what I was studying for today. And like I've told a lot of you, that Jonah kept parking his boat in my front yard, so I couldn't get away from. Somehow God wanted me to talk about Jonah. I had quite a few people come up and tell me, "Hey, man, that word was for me. I've been running." How many don't want to be a runner anymore? If you're going to be running, there's only one direction to run. Where's that? Towards God. Amen. Hallelujah. Quit running. Hallelujah. He's got great things for you. He wants to do great things to you, and for you, and through you. So quit running away and start running towards Him, so that He can do that which you're going to love. Amen? Folks, I'll tell you something. When you begin to do what God wants you to do, it's exactly perfect. It works out for you. It's cool, man. Hallelujah. I was going to talk about foundations last week, so we're going to talk about foundations today. How many of you know it's important to put down a good foundation? Hey, what happened to the Eiffel Tower? Do you guys, anybody know what's going on with the Eiffel Tower? Is that the one? Is that the one that, no, I'm sorry, the Tower of Pisa. How's that one? Sorry, man, I got you guys switching in your mind. Oh, yeah, I know which one he's talking about now. That Leaning Tower, is it a foundation problem going on? How many, does anybody know? I got some engineers in the room. Does anybody know why that thing is leaning? It's a foundation problem. Is that right? Come on, brother. What were you going to say?
Well, built on soft ground.
Soft ground. It was just where it's at. Italy.
Not on the corner.
Is that right? Not, come on. How many of you know we have to have a good foundation?
Amen.
Is that right? How many of you know that that God has placed a good foundation within you? Is that right?
Amen.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning. We're going to go to, if you would, turn your Bibles to Ezra chapter 1. And as usual, I like to read. How many know that? So, oh man, here we go. We're going to read again. Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The church has been knocked down and torn down. And there was a reason why the church was knocked down and torn down. Do you know why is that? Because they turned away from the God of their fathers. And they began to do what they wanted to do. So how do you know that when we turn from God, it's not good for us? Is that right? When we turn and go the other way like Jonah did, it doesn't turn out really well until we turn around and start heading back to God. Amen. So there was a turning away from God. The temple in Jerusalem got torn down, torn apart. And now we've got this Gentile king issues a decree to rebuild the temple. Isn't that cool? God can use anybody. Is that right? He uses this Gentile king to make a decree. Hey, I want that temple built. The God of heaven and earth has called me to get that temple built back in Jerusalem. So all you Jews, all you people that are from there, I want you to assemble yourselves and head on over. I'm going to supply you what you need. Basically is what we're going to read this morning. Okay? We're going to talk about the foundation and how important it is to have that foundation. Hallelujah. I better get going. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we know that you have placed a foundation within us. His name is Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. Woo. Lord, he is the chief cornerstone, Lord. He is the chief stone of the building, Father. We thank you for him, Father. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would teach us this morning, instruct us, Holy Spirit, and reveal things to us that we hadn't seen. Show us the unseen things, Father God. Especially the things that you see that's in our lives, Father. Show them to us, Lord, so that we might acknowledge them and do what needs to be done according to your commandment, Lord. We thank you for it this morning. We praise you for it. Do you agree in Jesus' name? If anybody agrees in Jesus' name, if you agree, get ready. Can I show you some stuff? Amen. How many like stuff? Hallelujah. How many know we all have stuff? Is that all right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 1. Turn your attention, please, to the word of God. And it says this, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Isn't that nice? Come on, God, stir him up. Hallelujah. That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven and earth has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among all of his people? Who is there among you of all his people, if his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God. This is a Gentile king. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Whosoever remains in any place where he sojourns, Let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. I like that statement where it says, all of those whose spirit God had raised. When God's talking to your spirit, you're going to know. He's going to lift your spirit, and there's going to be something to say, I got to do something. I'm going to go. I'm going to get something done. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also, King Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those things did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Merodach, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shesbazar, okay, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 29 knives for whatever, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shesbazar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon into Jerusalem. Cool, huh? Not only had the king issued something, but he also made a commandment for people around them to give to them so that they could go. Give them offerings, give them silver, give them gold, because they're going to need all this to build that temple. And then he brought out all the things that Nebuchadnezzar had pulled out of the temple in Jerusalem, taken to Babylon. He gave them everything that they had stolen, or captured, I guess it was. And they took it, gave it back to them so they could take it back to Jerusalem. Isn't that cool? This was a move of God. Amen? When God does things, can I tell you he'll finance it? Can I tell you God has everything you need? Is that right? Is God poor? Praise God. He has streets that are paved with what? What kind of gold? Pure gold. And not just gold, but the Word of God says it's pure gold. It is a pure gold is a transparent gold. You can almost see right through it. It's a purity. It's a pure gold. And the street sweepers of heaven break out every morning, and they sweep that dust, and it falls out on the earth, and we fight over it. Praise God. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If God tells you to do something, he will finance it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. If he told me to build a church in Green Valley, if he said, hey, start a house of God in Green Valley, Sahuarita, I don't, anyway, I said, okay, God, I'm not worried about the finances. Can I just tell you that? Probably the treasurer in the house would probably say, yeah, he's right. You're not worried about the finances. I'm not worried. It does not bother me. I am concerned about where they go. I am concerned about, hey, are we tithing what we're getting? Are we praying over what we're getting, what the people of God have labored for? Are we honoring and respecting what they're doing? I am. But other than that, come on. I believe God's going to take care of us. I believe he's going to send in men smarter, so much smarter than me, to take care of all those things. How many know? Because God gives gifts for those things. How many know that? Hallelujah. No man builds a house of the Lord all by himself. Do you know that? No man does that. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God is working. Hallelujah. Ooh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I told the folks when we first moved in this building, I don't care if this thing costs $1 million. God can afford that. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. And He can. And He will. Hallelujah. I just got to make sure that I watch what the Holy Spirit is doing. Is that right? I got to keep my ear on the well, or keep my eyes on the well. Keep my heart at the well where God distributes the living water. Amen? I got to do that. Hallelujah. The minute I get away from that, somebody slap me. Please. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to Ezra chapter 3. We're going to skip a chapter because in that second chapter, it talks about all the folks that went. And I love it. It's nice to read. Read through it if you can get a chance. But let's go to Ezra 3. It says, and when the seventh month was come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brother the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, his brethren, and built the altar of the Lord, altar of God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases. Listen why they said, they said, let's put up an altar, we got to do it now. First thing they did was they put up this altar. And it says, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries, the people that were around about them, were not happy about this decree that King Cyrus had made for them to rebuild this temple. So they offered sacrifices. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, and burnt offerings every morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as is written. They offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated. And every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Do you hear that? That scripture right there, verse 6. Right at the end of the verse 6, it says, but the foundation of the Lord, of the temple of the Lord, was not yet laid. So when they came in, they noticed the foundation's not here. We've got to put down the foundation. Anytime you build, you got to put in the foundation. Is that right? You don't just start building the house, grab your 2x4, throw it on the ground, start building walls. Is that right? There's got to be some kind of a structure underneath to hold what you're building. And it says, and the foundation was not yet laid, is what it says. They gave money also to the masons, to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil, to them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon, to set to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Verse 8 says, now in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward for the work of the house of the Lord. I got to tell you about verse 8. Verse 8 says, I'm going to read that part to you again. It says, now in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month. This little piece right here stuck out very much to me, just for one reason, and hopefully you all understand. February will be our second year, and it's the second month of the year. And somehow I feel God is saying to me, hey, you watch what I build this year. It's almost like a starting point. I believe it, man. I just, you know, we started a marriage seminar. What do you call it? Seminar. And Lily handed me a book. And what something that hit me as soon as I looked at the cover, it says building blocks. And it's like God was saying, I'm telling you, I'm going to build something this year. You're not, get ready, Henry, get ready. Second year, second month in here. I just thought I'd let you know that. Very special to me. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, then stood Yeshua with his sons and his brother, Kadmiel. How many of you guys like all these names? They're nice, man. Nothing like Sam or George or John. Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the work, to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, how many folks, when you ask somebody to build a house for you and they throw the foundation, how many of you grab priests and trumpets and people with cymbals? Come on, man. The foundation is laid. Hallelujah. There is something about the foundation when it's laid, when it's put down. Hallelujah. There's something about it. And they began to sing. They began to sing. They began to praise God. Whoo, hallelujah. Began to sing. Oh, the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Can you help me sing this? For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. Come on, folks, sing it. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Is he good? Sing it. For the Lord is good. Oh, for the Lord is good. Yes, Lord. For the Lord is good and his mercy. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures. The foundation's laid. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Everybody, come on, real loud. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. You see, it was just for the laying of the foundation. Just for the laying. Just because a foundation was laid. Can I tell you something? Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 12 says this, but many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Man, I don't know if I can get through this one. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Folks, just for the laying of the foundation, you know, man, you know what? What's with these folks? What's so special about the foundation? Hallelujah. This is a picture. It's a type, the temple, of what God's doing in your life. Hallelujah. When Jesus was on the earth, the Pharisees were giving him a hard time. How do you know that? Pharisees were not happy about this young man going around healing folks, making bread for thousands out of a few loaves, feeding them and healing them on the Sabbath. What is wrong with this guy, man? Praise God. Hallelujah. So in one of their conversations, if you will, Jesus reminds them about some things. In Matthew 21, verse 33 through 44. Glory to God. Matthew. And his mercy endures forever. Ooh, I feel that. Lord is God. I gotta keep there. You're gonna sing this all day long, guys. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. My son and I were singing this last night in my bedroom. It's like this bomb come into the room, man. I told him, man, look, me, we're going to do this a lot. We're going to do it a lot. Oh, praise God. Glory to God. Jesus in verse 33 says, hear another parable, guys. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged the winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went out into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive of the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. Do you know that Jesus was telling them about what they were going to do to him? And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those husbandmen? And they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. He's talking about them. Oh, they're going to miserably destroy those wicked men. And he will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. What a sad story. And given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Folks, do you know that we're here because of that? And he says in verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it fall, it will grind him to powder. The scripture that Jesus was referring to is in Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to read that to you. You see, Jesus knew the word. Amen. He knew where you... He wasn't just telling them random stuff. What he was saying to them was something they should know. Verse 22 and 23 of Psalm 118 says this: "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And then it says, "This is the day which the Lord has made." Come on, man. Hallelujah. Jesus was referring to Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23 was referring to Jesus. Listen, he was referring to Jesus. When David got that and when he wrote that, he was referring to Jesus, talking about who Jesus is. He's the stone, the cornerstone. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. I'm going to start at verse 14. Remember the word of God. Remember that Jesus said, "Whoever falls on this stone will be broken." And I remember when I fell at Jesus' feet, when I fell on the stone, I was broken. I was sad. I said, "God, I am a sinner, and I don't know what to do." Friday night with Jimmy Swaggart for a month, every night crying out. And finally, God had to say, "Get up. You're good. Get up. I forgive you." Whoo. When God says, "I forgive you," come on, man. I forgive you. I don't care what you've done. I forgive you. So much I sent my son to die on a cross. I forgive you. Just believe in what my son has done for you. Isaiah 28:14 says this: "Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men." Who's he talking to? Scornful men. Mostly the men of the Jews of Jerusalem, the leaders of Jerusalem that were teaching his people the wrong things. "Hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement.' When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it won't come to us, because we've made a deal. We've got an agreement." Isaiah's pretty bold. And he says this: "For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." And then he says this: "Therefore, because, therefore, you're trusting in lies, you're making falsehood your refuge. Therefore," God says, "I'm going to send you a word here." He says, "Therefore, behold. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure," what? "Foundation. He that believes shall not make haste." Some translations say, "He that believes will not be forced to flee." Verse 17 says this: "Judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And that hail shall sweep away," what? What's it going to sweep away? The refuge of what? Lies. "And the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death," guys, "your silly little covenant with death," he says, "it's going to be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it, you scornful guys." You, hallelujah. Woo, man, I get a lot out of this. I don't know. I love this portion of scripture. Hallelujah, Jesus. At the end of verse 15, it says this, "For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." I'm going to ask you this morning, where do you hide yourself? Where's your hiding place? Do you know that all of us have a hiding place? Do you know that? We all have a hiding place. I wanted to go out yesterday. Reuben was out. He's been hunting for this whole week, and he was coming by my house. He was coming back to the house, night or two ago. I'm not sure exactly what day it was, but he said, "Hey, you know what? There's more deer track back here on your property than I've seen all." He goes, "You know what? I'm going to set up my blind back there. I'm going to set it up back there, and I'm going to wait for them." So I wanted to go out and take a picture of his blind, because his blind, it's a hiding place. It's a place where he hides. Look at that. It's a hiding place. But where do you hide? You know, we have all sorts of hiding places. Isaiah pointed to a couple and says, "We have made lies our refuge and falsehood. In falsehood, we've hid ourselves." Sometimes we hide ourselves in our money. Sometimes we hide ourselves in our own strength. Sometimes we hide ourselves in religion. You know, I could be hiding behind being a pastor. Do you know that? We can hide ourselves in our education. Or my business, or my work, what I do. We can hide ourselves in our problems. Is that right? We can hide ourselves in blame. Is that right? I don't do it because this guy, my mom dropped me on my head 7 times when I was a baby. So I've got an excuse. We hide ourselves in excuses. Is that right? Some folks hide themselves in drugs or drinking. Some folks hide themselves in hate, unforgiveness. They won't release. So they hide. It's a hiding place for them. Some folks hide themselves in pornography. Do you know that everybody hides? Everybody's got a hiding place. I'm going to let you think a minute. Where are you hiding? Where are you hiding? And I'm not looking at anybody, okay? Where are you hiding this morning? I just want to say to you this morning that God has placed a foundation in you that you don't have to hide anymore. You can be free of anything that is causing you to hide. Anything that is placing a false front out in front. Years ago when I was a youth pastor, had some kids that really did a nice thing. Hi. We did a thing called the King of Hearts. It was all to music, no words. It's pretty cool. This is the beauty queen. There were 4 characters in the King of Hearts. 1 character was the macho man. He'd throw some chops. Another character was a clown. Yeah. Another one was religion. Mask was painted black and white, hiding behind a mask of religion. And then there was a beauty queen. It's a beautiful, beautiful play. And to watch the kids do it was just, and it's done to music, and everything is just to watch them do it, it's just powerful. We took it out in the streets and just powerful results. Powerful people got touched by it. But one of the, in it was they were beauty queen, you know. I grabbed this one because it was the best looking one, okay? Some of the other ones are a little beat up. The beauty queen would, you know, smiling, waving. But then when she was by herself, when she put down the mask, she was sad and hiding behind a mask. Hiding. And I want to say this morning, I'm not going to ask you where your hiding place is. Everybody's got a hiding place. God wants to take you from that hiding place, and he wants to bring you into a hiding place that is in the foundation. Can I tell you, that's why I rejoice when I see the foundation laid. Because I know that it's a hiding place. Is that right? It is a hiding place. It is a place you can run to and hide. I want to turn to Psalm 32. We're going to look at Psalm 32, verses 5 through 7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is everybody at Psalm 32? I want to start reading at verse 5. It says this, I acknowledge my sin unto the Lord. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. Hear me? What's he not? He's not hiding his iniquity. Folks, it's time that we quit hiding what we've got. God sees it. You cannot hide it. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Verse 7. You are my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Ooh, hallelujah. Lord, you're my hiding place. Hallelujah. Your foundation will break me and keep me and hold me. Hallelujah. Nothing, like I said, no, when the waters come in to wash. Let's go back to Isaiah 28 real quick. Judgment also will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Jesus, when he comes into your heart, he begins to clean house. And he begins to sweep, sweep, sweep. Can you picture the Lord sweeping your heart? Blowing things off. Cleaning you up. He'll sweep away that refuge of lies. And now you have a refuge. And then it says, and the waters, what? And the waters shall overflow your hiding place. Ooh, come on, I don't know about you. But when you get into that hiding place, the waters begin to flow. And it begins to flow. And when you get out into the streets of the city or wherever, there's an overflowing that begins to take place. Hallelujah. Because of what that foundation does within you. Hallelujah. Do you know that you are a living stone? Do you know that? You are a lively... Peter, listen to Peter. First, did I give this scripture to you guys? I didn't, did I? I'm gonna look at first. Let's go to First Peter. I'm gonna have to look around for it just for a second. I just got it. First Peter chapter 2. OK, Can you put that up? I'm going to start reading it to you. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. You hear me? No place to hide. Laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is good, gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. You see, this foundation is built on a living stone, not a dead stone, not a rock that doesn't talk. Is that right? This is a living stone, Jesus, all right? Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I like that word. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, whereby it's also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Whoo, hallelujah. He gives you a song. Could we all stand? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I don't know what you're hiding. You don't have to tell me what you're hiding. But we're going to sing this song again. And I just want you to think of God. Sometimes we don't even know we're hiding something. Is that right? Do you guys know that? So what we're going to ask, I'm going to ask the Lord. I say, Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Speak to hearts. As we sing this song. As we sing this song together, allow God to come in and say, look, you're hiding this from me. Allow me to overflow it. You're going to sense the Holy Spirit this morning, and he's going to be washing and cleansing and doing a work in your heart, because he is cleansing the body. Do you hear me this morning? He is doing a work so that the temple can be built and built strong. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. So let's, if you will, just sing this with us this morning. And while we're singing, say, Lord, show me anything. Show me what you're seeing that I don't see. How's that? Say that to the Lord this morning. Okay, while we're singing this song. Okay. For the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Yes, Lord. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Yeah, hallelujah. Sing it loud. For the Lord is good. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. Yes, Lord. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good. He knows what's going on. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I know that when Jesus came into my heart, laid the foundation there. The Bible says that the angels were rejoicing, singing. I was rejoicing. Might not have been able to sing, still probably can't sing well. But when the foundation is laid, when the foundation is laid, it's a time to rejoice. Ooh, hallelujah. Rejoice, O men of the earth, for your Lord has come. He has come to dwell among you. Rejoice, O men and women of the earth, for your God will lead you and speak to you and take you to where you desire to go, because He is with you. He will never forsake you. He will always, always stand by you. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a hand if you will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are here for you. Let me say that to you. This church, we are here for you. Anything that you need, come and talk to us. If we don't know, how can we help? Amen? Hallelujah. And in the Lord, we will work things out together. Amen? Hallelujah. God is going to build. This year, we're going to see things like we haven't seen. Hallelujah. God is going to build. I give Him praise and glory and honor for it. Everything belongs, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And I will not cease to have His praises on my lips. Hallelujah. Amen.